right, good singing, everybody. Thanks, Andrew and Jacinda. I'm going to pull this over out of the way. Get situated here a little bit. All right, I want to read the announcement that I shared earlier about First Sunday Fellowship Meal. Again, some of you have heard it twice now. I'm going to read it one more time so that everybody who's here now will be able to hear it. But and we'll try to send out information on this. But First Sunday Fellowship Meal for August, back to school theme. Church provides chips and drinks. Please bring a plate of sandwiches, label what kind of sandwiches they are, and a side dessert contest for the youth. Prizes for each category. Categories are bar or brownie, cookies, and cakes. And then contact Lisa Slater if you would like to help be a judge on that. All right, so we'll make sure we get that out. All right, so our time together on Sunday nights is what I've entitled Bible Talks. This is Bible Talk number 2, where we are really overviewing the Bible, reviewing this, or we're approaching this from the perspective of if we were trying to teach someone who doesn't know anything about the Bible, how would we teach them or give them an overview of the Scriptures so that they can kind of get a framework from which to work from when they began to read the Bible themselves, okay? So we're trying to look at the Bible and understand it in such a way so that we can begin to give a framework to someone who doesn't know anything about the Bible so that they can begin to read it and understand what's going on. So that's our goal here in our time together. Let me pray for us as we get into this time. Lord God, your word is living and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. We know, Lord, that it is piercing and cutting the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And Father, we know as wise that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord God, we know that your word is settled forever in heaven, that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So we come to this time of study, Lord, tonight. I pray you'll help us to understand this wonderful, marvelous book in a deeper way. God, not just for us, Lord, so that we do want to know you more through your word, but God, so that we can teach others. Help us, I pray in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look in your Bibles to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra 7, verse 10, just a introductory verse here to our time together tonight, we'll notice something about Ezra, and this is a verse that made me love this man that I've never met, but this verse just made me love and appreciate him and admire him, and I want these things in my own life as well, though I feel like I fall so short of it. But in Ezra 7, verse 10, it says about Ezra, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." Again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but what we see about Ezra is someone who had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And as we come to the Bible, we are really, I hope, preparing our hearts to seek the law of the Lord ourselves, to understand the Bible the best that we can. And then to do it, you'll notice, and then there's a third thing that Ezra wanted to do. He wanted to seek the law of the Lord. He prepared his heart to do that. And remember, it's a heart issue to begin with, all right? Your relationship with God and with the Bible is a heart issue to start with. From there, he wanted to do it. In other words, he didn't want to just teach others, but he wanted to put it into practice in his daily life. And then, as I just indicated, the third thing he wanted to do was teach it to Israel, teach it to others. So I hope that when we come to the Bible, we would have a heart to seek God through His Word, to know Him through His Word, then to put it into practice, and then one day to be able to teach others. Because, you know, these young people that are growing up here in New Life Baptist Church, you guys and girls are going to be the teachers here one day. You're going to be teaching small group classes. You're going to be leading classes. You're going to be, some of our men will be, young men will be preaching one day, I hope, in this church. You'll be declaring the word of the Lord. And now's the time for you to begin preparing yourself for that. Learn everything that you can now, because God's going to use those things later on in your life as you're a leader here at New Life Baptist Church or wherever the Lord might have you to be. Let's begin with a quick overview, or a quick review, rather, of some things that we learned last week. First of all, we have the word Bible, and what does that word mean? Anybody remember? What does it mean? Douglas? Good job. It means book. Book. Good. Now, I'm going to throw another one in here, and it's the word scriptures, or scriptures. Scripture. What does scripture mean? Does anybody know what scripture means? Caleb?
It means like verses of the Bible.
It does mean that. It has a more specific meaning than that. You're right. The scriptures are the verses of the Bible because, frankly, the only scriptures that there are is the Bible. There's no scripture outside of the Bible. Anybody else want to take a stab at that as far as what the word scripture means?
Writings.
That's exactly right. So that means writings. Okay? So that's what the word scriptures mean. Now, in both of these, we can think of holy. Holy Bible, holy scriptures. The reason we would call it holy is why? Because the author of the scriptures is who? God. You remember what 2 Thessalonians says? All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of who? Of God. Yep. All right, now, a little bit more general information on the Bible. The Bible was written in three languages. All right, three languages. Can anybody give me what one of the languages was, Ben?
Hebrew,
that's right. So Hebrew is the first, and the Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew. Zayt, what's another one?
Greek.
Greek, right. So you got the New Testament was written primarily in Greek. Now, there was a portion of the Old Testament that was written in another language, David.
Aramaic.
That's exactly right. I'm going to turn this way just a little bit so I don't have to turn my backs to you so much. All right, now, Aramaic. You might wonder what part of the Old Testament was written in Aramaic. The largest portion that I'm aware of that was written in Aramaic, and it may be the only one, was Daniel. In the book of Daniel, I think it's around the fourth chapter, there's a point there where the message is primarily toward the nations. And from that point till several chapters later, it's all in Aramaic rather than in Hebrew. All right, so that's where your main portion of Aramaic will be. There's one place in the Bible where we know that there was a Latin script. Something was written in Latin. Does anybody remember where something was written in Latin and it's indicated that it was? Anybody remember?
Not Jesus on the cross.
Well, it was Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
And the placard above it was written in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, so that anybody who walked by, no matter what language you were fluent in, you'd be able to look at that and you'd be able to read what it said about Jesus. Okay, so it was written in three different languages. Now, the Bible was also written on three different continents. Three different continents. All right. Does anybody know what one of those continents was? What was one of them? Somebody who hasn't answered yet. Yep, Jay?
Africa.
All right, good. Africa. Okay. Somebody else who hasn't answered yet? Dennis?
Probably would be Europe.
Yep, you're right. Europe. And then, you might know the last one, Kate?
Asia.
That's right. All right, so those are your three continents on which the Bible was written. Now, it was written over a 1,500-year period of time. Now, the way that works is, the reason it's 1,500 years, because you might say, well, Genesis goes back a lot longer than, you know, that time span would work out. The reason it's 1,500 years is because you go back to the time of Moses. Moses is the first author in the Bible as far as the books of the law. So it goes back to the time of Moses and then through the first century. And that's going to take you back about 1,400 B.C. During the time of Moses. So it's a 1,500-year period. Now, does anybody know how many people, how many authors did God use to write the Bible?
Anybody who hasn't answered yet. How many different writers are there of the Bible? Joshua?
40.
Good job.
40. 40 authors or writers. Okay. So that's some basic information about the Bible. And so if you're sitting down talking to somebody, maybe you're discipling someone who doesn't know a whole lot about the Bible, this is some general information that you could begin with. Now, when it comes to the Scriptures, the other day I was at Jack's with Will, and there were two Mormon missionaries who were there, and I was just pointing out to Will that those are two Mormon missionaries, because he had probably never seen them before. And I noticed that they don't ride around on bicycles anymore. They ride in cars now. And so I asked one of them, I said, so you guys don't ride bicycles anymore? He said, no, we drive now. And anyways, we had a little conversation, and I told him that I've talked to Mormon missionaries before. And he said, oh yeah, well, what do you think? What do you think about it? So, you know, I just went into telling him how I believe it's a false gospel, a false religion. They don't preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So I just told him. I said, you ask me what I think, so I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to be offensive. But what they've done is, and one of the things I pointed out to them is, you guys say that we need to read something beyond the Bible. You say that, oh, just take the Book of Mormon, pray about it, and read it, and see what you feel, see what you think about it. I says, why do I need to do that? If the Scriptures are given by God and they are sufficient for everything that we need for life and godliness, why do I need any other book to be able to read? Now, you might ask, well, how do we know that the Bible is everything that we need or have? If you think about Jude wrote that that his readers would contend earnestly for the faith. Now, notice this part. Which was once for all delivered to the saints. So they were supposed to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered. In other words, the faith of the gospel that has been given was final. There's nothing more to add to it. There's no more revelation from God as far as Scripture being given that needs to be added to the Bible. The Bible is sufficient in and of itself. So I think that's Jude verse 4. So that's kind of a rundown of the Bible. Anybody got any questions on this? Anything? What am I missing on this? Anything I'm missing that we need to include here? Okay. All right, good deal. Let's do that. So, how many books are there total in the Bible?
66. All right, I heard that. 66
books. All right. With that, we're going to flip the board. All right. So we're going to do Old Testament, New Testament, right here, and we're going to put some information down here about each of these testaments. You got your Old Testament. you got your New Testament. Listen, folks, you may not realize this is information that we've been exposed to most of our lives. There's a lot of people out there, the Bible is very intimidating to them, and they just don't really know what's going on here. If you were talking to somebody and maybe they don't know too much about the Bible, I just want to tell you there's a simple Bible reading plan that you can tell them about. All right, and I'm going to share that with you in a minute. All right, so Old Testament. What's some general information that we would give someone about the Old Testament? If we were just saying, here's some stuff about the Old Testament. General information. Okay, creation. So the Old Testament reveals creation. What about the book, the Testament, just overview of the whole thing? How many books are in the Old Testament? Caleb?
39.
Is that what you were going to say? 39 books. Okay. Anything else about the Old Testament? Just
broad overview kind of stuff.
What'd you say, Maggie?
Tell me about the categories the books fall into.
Okay.
History, law,
poetry. All right, so that's the same thing that you said. So different types of writings.
So in other words, what you would tell them is the English Bible is arranged the way that it is because of the types of writing that are there. So the first category is law. What's the second one? Yep, history. What's the next one?
Prophecy.
No, not prophecy.
Poetry.
And then the last one?
Prophecy.
And we know, as we looked at last week, that divides up into two different categories, major and minor prophets. Okay? What about New Testament? What would we say about the New Testament? Broad overview of the New Testament. How many books are there? Zayden?
27.
All right, you got 27 books. All right, what else in the New Testament?
Gospel.
Okay, you're talking about types of writings?
Right, types of writings.
All right, so you got types of writings there. And the first one, you said gospels. How did we label that last week that includes the gospels?
History.
All right, what's another category of writing in the New Testament?
Epistles.
And what's the last one?
Prophecy.
Yeah, apocalyptic. Apocalyptic or revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ. Okay? So three different types. We've got five books of history. How many epistles are there? Does anybody remember? What'd you say again?
21.
And then there's one apocalyptic. All right? Is there anything we're missing here on 27 books or the New Testament? Zayden?
The crucifixion.
Say again?
The crucifixion.
Okay. That's something that's very important. Now, all right. Think about if you're... Yeah, go ahead, David.
In Old Testament, you said poetry, but I always heard of those as wisdom literature.
Okay. Poetry or wisdom literature. You might see them by either title. Thank you for pointing that out. All right, now think about this. If you are explaining to somebody who doesn't know anything about the Bible, what is the thing that divides or separates Old Testament from New Testament? Caleb?
God's covenant with Israel and God's covenant with everyone else.
Okay. The covenants, there's something else, though, that's clearer than that. When you think about covenants, that plays into it. But there's something or someone that is clearer or more significant than that. What makes a difference between Old Testament and New Testament? David?
The law and the gospel.
Let's go with Dennis's answer right here.
The birth of Christ.
The birth of Christ is what I was looking for there. But you got law on Old Testament, gospel on the other. But if you think about it, you would... teach someone that what is different is the Old Testament is looking forward to the cross. The New Testament is the event of the cross, and then afterwards. From that point on, we're all looking back to it. Mark Dever has a two-volume series that's wonderful, and the Old Testament is called Promises Made. The New Testament is called Promises Kept. All right? So it often sees central, is the cross is centric on in that two-volume series. So if you're teaching somebody about the Bible, trying to help them understand why there's an Old Covenant, a New Covenant, or an Old Testament and a New Testament, the fact about Jesus' life has to be central there. Because y'all remember what we talked about last week? All of the Bible is ultimately pointing to who? To Jesus Christ. Does anybody have in your notes or remember any passages that tell us, yes, all the Bible is talking about Jesus? Because there's some specific ones where it says it's all about Him. Does anybody have those in your notes, David?
John 5:39.
Yep, John 5:39. And I think verse 46 says it as well. Somebody pointed out last week. Okay. So John chapter 5, verse 39 and verse 46. Anybody else see another one or remember another one from last week?
Luke 24:27.
Yeah. Luke 24. Did you say verse? Yeah. Verse 27 and verse 44. Those go back and talk about the Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus is actually the one saying that those speak about Him. All right. Now, major theme. What did you guys have for the theme last week? Anybody see it in your notes? It's the main theme of the Bible. David?
Yeah, it was the redemption of humanity through Jesus Christ.
All right. And I'm just going to add a couple words to the beginning of that. God being glorified through the redemption of humanity through Jesus Christ. So, God being glorified through the redemption of sinners in Jesus Christ. Something along those lines. You can kind of tweak that. Okay? All right. Y'all got that? Now, here's what we want to do in the next few minutes. I want us to think about what important events should be on our timeline. I want to say a big thanks to Sean Williamson. He gave me some tape that you can stick on a whiteboard. So we got this stuck on here, and we can just fill this thing out. We don't have to worry about it getting erased, and we can add to it as we desire to do so. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to flip this over, and I'm going to erase what's here, and then we just want to brainstorm. I'm going to write what we come up with on this whiteboard. What are now think about this. I want you guys to think. If you're giving somebody who doesn't know anything about the Bible a basic timeline of the Bible, what important events ought to be there? All right. Douglas?
Creation.
Creation. Good one. All right. Creation. Exodus.
Fall.
All right. Fall. Flood. Did you say with creation?
Yeah, like kind of, yeah. Because you have to explain all.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Those could be right up here. What else? Kate?
Tower of Babel.
Babel. All right, Sherry, what'd you say?
Patriarchs.
Patriarchs. You mean by patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph?
Kings.
Kings, all right.
And the settling of Israel.
So when they entered into the Canaan land? Move beyond the book of Joshua. All right, keep going. All right, if you get bogged, think about it. We're teaching people who know nothing about the Bible about the Bible.
Birth of Christ.
All right. So, birth of Christ.
Great and dreadful day of the Lord.
So, the end?
Yeah.
All right. You went all the way to the end. Good job.
Is Israel on the
board? I don't care about that. A split of Israel.
All right.
The love of the birth of Christ have to rest in the crucifixion, death, burial.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Crucifixion, death, burial, seen by men.
Okay. So we'll just put crucifixion right there and capturing all that. Exile.
The split of Israel.
Okay. Who said that? Okay.
All
right.
Would we really need all of that if we're giving somebody that knows nothing?
Well,
wanting to lead up to sharing the gospel, isn't that a bit of an overload?
Well, we're learning as we go.
Pentecost.
All right. All right, Zayden. Okay, again, you got to think about putting this on a timeline, all right? You got to think about putting this on a timeline. And this is all good practice for us, because some of these things, can you imagine knowing nothing about it and then somebody all of a sudden dumping all this on you? And that could be fairly overwhelming. So you got to start, you got to think basic. If you didn't know anything, what would you want to know or need to know in order to understand the Bible? So let's do this. Let's start filling some of this in. So what we're going to do here is we're going to write creation right here.
I have one more.
Yeah, what is it?
I would want to know when the church began, so the formation of the early.
Okay. Okay. Church beginning. Okay. All right. Now that we've thought about that, is there anything else where you feel like you'd have to know this in order to be clear on it?
On the 400 years of silence.
Okay, 400 years of silence. Now, what Jacinda is talking about is 400 years that would be right here between the Testaments. By the time Malachi ended, to when John the Baptist came on the scene and began to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," there were 400 years where there were no writing prophets, there were no prophets of God. There were things going on in the world that the book of Daniel talks about were going to happen, but as far as there being an authoritative voice from God, there was not any. So that's called the intertestamental period, or the 400 years of silence. In other words, God was silent in the Holy Scriptures being given, writings of the Holy Scriptures of the prophet from God. We'll put that in over there. Okay? What else did y'all think about that has to be in there? Caleb and then Kate.
Prophecies. I would want to know when Jesus was first prophesied about, how far back that was.
Okay. Let's stay right here with prophecy, prophets, prophecy. Caden?
The law was given to Moses. Is that up there?
The law given. Man, you guys would be very inquisitive. I'm sorry?
The Holy Spirit.
When the Holy Spirit came? All right. Okay, I've got to stop this right there. We got to start filling this in. Y'all are too smart for your own good. All right. The way this is arranged is this is 40 inches long from there to here. All right? And then this is 20 inches long from here to here. This is, we're going to say that this is today. All right? So you've got creation till today. All right? This would be 0 AD. Or the birth of Christ. All right, so that's just giving us some markers there. One of the things that we mentioned to begin with was creation, fall, flood, and Babel. What I'd like to try to do is go ahead and put that up here on the board for you, and I think that might be helpful for us. I'm going to take this yardstick that we have, and I'm going to go 20 inches down to the year 2000. All right, so if this is 4,000 years, well, 4,000 years from here to here, what we see is 2,000 years are covered in Genesis 1 through 12. Because there you have creation, fall, flood, and Babel. Alright? All that takes place. And this to me was eye-opening when I came to understand it, that a lot of the Bible, a lot of those years of the Bible, 2,000 years, are covered in the first, of the 4,000 years, are covered in the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis. 2,000 years are covered during that time. All of these items that are biggies in the book of Genesis. So, if that's right, then this mark right here is going to indicate an important person. Who shows up, or who did God bring and call in Genesis chapter 12 to come and to follow him?
Abraham.
So we can go right here to around the year 2000, and we know that it was there that Abraham came on the scene. So that was about the year 2000 B.C. Okay? Now, you might, like I, wonder, well, when did the flood occur? I tried to do a little bit of math on that, and it seems like, just from what I can tally up from Genesis chapter 10, that the flood probably happened about 300 years prior to this, around 1700, around 2300 B.C., all right? So about 300 years. Now, what if someone asked you this? What if they said, how can you know that those dates are accurate? How can you know that that timeline is accurate? I've heard that the Bible is, or that the world is millions and billions of years old. How can you say that it's some 6,000 years old? How would you answer that question?
Sean?
Genealogy is listed in Genesis along with the years that someone lived and died.
All right. So Sean said the genealogies are listed in Genesis along with the years that people lived and died. Okay, good. That's part of it. What else? Why else? Can you be confident that this timeline is accurate? Annabelle?
Scientific evidence.
All right. Thinking about what is found in the Bible, why can you be confident that what we believe about the Bible is accurate? Zayden?
Because every word of it is true.
All right, every word of God is true, is pure.
Maggie? Okay, so prophecy proves scripture is scripture, but what about this timeline in particular? All right, there's genealogies in the Old Testament. Are there any in the New Testament?
Where? We have Matthew and Luke
that are extensive genealogies. Matthew's genealogy goes back to Abraham. Luke chapter 3, who does his genealogy go back to? All the way back to Adam, the son of God, is what it says. So you can go to Luke chapter 3 and trace from the time of Jesus' birth right here, and you can go all the way back to when Adam was created, and you can find the years, the time of people's lives, and trace it all the way back to that time. So you see, there's a lot behind why we have the dates that we have, and it's because of the Bible, what's found there, and that every word of God is pure, it's true, and we can trust in it. Okay? Now, let's see here. We're going to call it right there. All right? So we've started on our timeline. When we come back together, we are going to figure out where a very important king fits into this timeline. Who would you say is the most important king in the Old Testament? King David. So would y'all say that he might be a pretty important figure in a timeline? We're going to figure out where David fits in this timeline. And then we will include the son of David, Jesus Christ, who came and put an indicator up there about what he has accomplished. All right, so that's getting us started. If you're taking notes, you might want to keep up with that piece of paper, or you might want to take a picture of this with your cell phone, and we'll continue to add to it and build upon the knowledge that we have. All right, remember, this is about us learning more, but it doesn't end there. This continues on beyond us so that we will be able to disciple or teach others about the Word of God so that they can be more confident when they open it up to read it. Okay? Make sense? All right, so we will not have a Sunday night service next week, but God willing, the week after that, we'll get together and continue on with this. All right, let's pray together, and then we'll sing the doxology and be dismissed. Lord, I thank you again for your Word and our time together to study it. Bless us, Lord, as we seek to know you through your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.